Who can tell me what is namal?
Who can tell me? It refers to an ant. Now imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is exhorting us to learn from a little creature. How valuable is this lesson? What is the lesson that we should pick up from the ant? The entire chapter is named after the ant. This is something extraordinary. After hearing this, we will learn never to look down upon any of Allah's creation. And learn from the creation of Allah. Even in the hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, do not kill the ant and the honeybee. Which other creature? We stopped. We exhorted not to kill. The hoopoe bird. So what happened to the ant was, Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam, a mighty king and a mighty Nabi of Allah, traveling with his sahaba, his army, his sahaba, his entourage. And imagine how humongous, how huge, how powerful. He was a king. He ruled from which capital? What was his capital? Palestine. Masjid al-Aqsa. Palestine was his capital. And in one day, he used to travel right to Iran, Iraq. Then he used to travel in the afternoon to Babylon. Then he used to travel, there's a report that even to China, where and where. He traveled, Mufassirin mentioned these areas. But he ruled many areas. And he used to travel on the wind. And the wind had speeds. Rukha an haythu asab. The wind would take him calmly. That was rukha. Then there was a powerful wind. He needed to get there quickly. Asif. So what they say? That no, aviation, the Wright brothers. My what? Allah knows. They came long after. Sulaiman alayhi salam was long before the Wright brothers. And leave the Wright brothers, long before the Wright brothers in the early 1900s. Talk sahab, there was Abbas bin Firnas. Wright brothers only came across something 1900, 1905. They managed to just maneuver something. They actually used the plans of Abbas bin Firnas, who flew prior to that on two occasions. Maybe more than a century prior to that. Abbas bin Firnas, rahimahullah. The Muslims were always advanced in the world, in all sciences. In every aspect, Muslims taught the world how to benefit from Allah's bounties and how to serve humanity. Whether it was medicine. You know, in history, when an individual came to learn medicine from the land of Islam, because Europe was in the dark ages. There was no Renaissance. They were so ignorant, they didn't even know simple amenities like soap. They learned from the lands of Islam. They didn't know what was a window. Their houses had chimney. That's where smoke must come out from. And they'll cough almost to death because they didn't even know the proper procedure of childbirth. Muslims taught them. The tools and the methods of these medical practices, not only medicine, whether it was engineering, whether it was botany, aviation, also how to construct structures. Muslims taught the world. Public bathrooms, hospitals, lights on the streets. And when a scholar came to the land of Islam to learn, his ustad would teach him. But in the land of Islam, sunnah was rife. Sunnah was alive. So the ustad, even teaching medicine, was wearing imama. I met one doctor sahab today. I said, mashallah, you're wearing imama. He says, yeah, because doesn't you get more thawab when you wear imama? So I was quite amazed. Dentist sahab was, he said, no, when I make my salah, I wear my imama. How beautiful. In history, whatever faculty was being taught, that teacher, that scientist was dressed with the jubbah and the imama. And when he taught his student, and the student qualified in that science, he took his turban and he gave it to his student. He took his jubba, he gave it to his student. And he says, now I want you to take the science and don't use it as just for your world. Use it to serve humanity, to gain the blessings of Allah. Yes, you are allowed to earn thereby. But the purpose of this knowledge is to serve people more than just earning. Earning is allowed. But the purpose is to serve humanity and make the world a better place. And when his student agreed to that, he tied for him his turban and he gave him his jubba. That's up to today in the universities. Dr. Sahib, we went to the university Friday. 10 non-Muslims attended the Jummah lecture. They're interested in Islam. As we were coming out, one youngster studying electrical engineering, he is waiting outside, and we greeted him and we asked him, can we help you in anything? He says, no, I was interested to come in, but I didn't know if I'm welcome. So we took him inside. And then there was one brother who came from far for the Jummah. He's a lawyer. So he phoned us on the way as we were returning, a local Zulu lawyer. He's saying, this is the first time he prayed Jummah in that musalla, that facility, because when he was studying in the same university, there was Muslims trying to get permission to put a place of prayer there, a masjid there, a musalla there. He says, I was on the board and we contested it. We refused them putting up that facility. He said, I was amazed today Allah arranged it. Look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala arranged it. He said, I couldn't believe it. I tried to hinder it, but this is Allah's deen. Obviously, that time he wasn't a Muslim. Now he's a Muslim, alhamdulillah. Muslim lawyer practicing in Lodium, but he came all the way for the Jumu'ah. So deen, people are thirsty for the deen. People want the deen. So here Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam is coming with his army. And a little ant gets up and calls its comrades. Oh my friends, go into your homes, go into your dwellings. Hazrat Sulaiman is coming with his sahaba, his entourage. He might crush you unknowingly. The story is long, but the Quran Kareem quotes the words of a little ant. قالت نملتي يا أيها النمل ادخلوا مساكنكم لا يحطمنكم سليمان وجنوده وهم لا يشعرون. Allah says, Sulaiman smiled brimmingly. That's amazing how an ant was. Then there's another story Mufassirin mentioned where Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam asked Allah. Then he commanded the winds to bring that ant. And he asked the ant, but why you thought I'll harm you? So the ant said, I said that you won't do it intentionally, O Allah's Nabi, because clearly Quran quotes, وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. I didn't say you'll do it intentionally. But Sulaiman alayhi salam is telling the ant, where I'll hurt you? You're Allah's creation. So it's quite an amazing discussion that we can discuss with you sometime, because here this is a very, very constrained time we have. The immediate next event in this chapter is also a journey of Sulaiman alayhi salam. And now he's looking for another creation of Allah. But this is a creation of Allah that flies very high. This is in Arabic, it's called Hudhud. You heard it today. Mali, what is the matter? Why is it that I can't find Hudhud? And Sulaiman, Hupu. Where is the Hupu? He got very upset, Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam. And in the Jalal, I'll tell you now why he got very upset. He said, لَوَعَذِّبَنَّهُ. I'm definitely going to punish that bird. أَوْ لَأَذْبَحَنَّهُ. Or I'm going to sacrifice him. I'll slaughter him. Unless he brings a good enough reason. أَوْ لَيَأْتِيَنِّي بِسُلْطَانٍ مُبِينٍ. So Sulaiman alayhi salam was very, very angry. Why? Because it was prayer time. And generally, the hoopoe would diagnose where is the water? Like machinery does it today when looking for a borehole. The hoopoe would diagnose and analyze it with its beak. And then he had Allah's creation like the jinn to dig. And alhamdulillah, water was available. And they would perform their prayer. So Sulaiman alayhi salam was in Jalal. What happened to the hoopoe? The hoopoe finally came and he's court-martialed to meet Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam. So those who are telling him, you in trouble, whether it was the eagle, Allah knows, Mufassirin mentioned, he says, I have my reasons and I'll explain to Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam. And he comes with humility before Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam. Why did you leave your post? He says, oh Allah's Nabi, I noticed something you didn't notice. So something interesting. Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam is so great, but the bird is telling him, I noticed something, I got to know something you didn't. He doesn't get angry. Which shows in life you can always learn. Sometimes someone younger than us will teach us something. Sometimes we come across something. Never get angry when there's someone, our junior, teaching us. Because in life, we have to continue to learn. So where we spoke today, one of the areas, the Mawlana Sahib is telling me, you know, my teacher used to say, see, I'm going to punish that student who doesn't come. Or I will, azbahannahu, or I'll, you know, expel him from the madrasa. So I'm asking, but Mawlana Sahib, what about the other part? Where Sulaiman alayhi salam was cool. What made him cool? When the hoopoe did what he did. You know what the hoopoe did? So here in Darul Uloom also, if a student is absent, we get, obviously as teachers, we don't tolerate that, right? You have to have a reason. But if the student was gone in Allah's way, he was going to invite people to Islam, he was doing dawah, then you have to be cool and calm. Because when the bird said to Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam, oh Allah's Nabi, I couldn't bear it. What couldn't the bird bear? وَجَدْتُهَا وَقَوْمَا يَسْجُدُونَ لِلشَّمْسِ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ I was flying above in the horizon and from a distance I saw a nation worship the sun and they don't worship my Allah. Oh Allah's Nabi, I couldn't bear it. I went there to verify. Don't they see Allah is doing everything? Allah controls everything. Allah knows the hidden seed beneath the ground. Allah يَسْجُدُوا لِلَّهِ الَّذِي يُخْرِجُ الْخَبَأَ فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا تُخْفُونَ وَمَا تُعْلِنُونَ اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ This hoopoe bird is concerned that a nation worships the sun and doesn't worship Allah. The heart, the tiny heart of a little bird couldn't bear it. What is this telling you and I, O Ummah of our beloved? What about our hearts? Are our hearts dead that we see people make puja and worship everything else besides Allah, and we can't explain to them? How can we worship Christ when Christ is the creation of God? How can we worship the sun when that is God's creation? He placed it for us as a service to humanity. He made the cow and we eat beautiful milk, and when we have so much, we drink milk from there. Explain to them respectfully. See, my friend, I know you for so long. How can we ascribe a partner to that being who made us? And we want to worship what we manufacture with our own hands. If it doesn't hurt us, this surah is exhorting us that even a bird had heart. Oh, the ummah of the beloved, raise your heart to pain that people ascribe a partner unto Allah. If somebody had to swear our mother, father, what happens? Oh, we can't take it. Yeah, they're swearing our Allah. We just carry on hunky-dory as though nothing is happening and nothing is wrong. But Sulaiman alayhi salam didn't end the story there. He says, oh bird, now I got work for you. So he sends the bird on gush. He writes a letter. This is Quran. Take this letter, deliver it to Yemen, Sana'a, the capital of Yemen. Sulaiman alayhi salam's capital is Palestine. That bird has to travel 1,000 some odd kilometers, go to the capital of Yemen and deliver the bird in the lap of the queen. What happens now? The letter falls down. Hey, where this came from? She's shocked. She opens. Innahu min Sulaiman. Quran even quotes the content of the letter. The letter hails from Sulaiman, the king. Wa innahu bismillahi ar-Rahmani ar-Rahim. The letter initiates Allah, in the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful, the most kind. Allah ta'alu alay. Don't be haughty and arrogant and submit to Allah alone. Now Bilqis was the queen. She's wondering, what do I do? She wants to first analyze, is this a man of Allah or is a man of dunya dar? Dunya dar, you give him some paisa, some bribery, he gets very happy. So she wants to see what is the bracket of Allah's Nabi Sulaiman al-Islam. So she sends her entourage with gold, with gifts, with wealth. Go and give him these gifts. If he is a dunya dar person, and she sent a lot, bars of gold, and a lot of diamonds and pearls and slaves and amenities. And they're traveling to the capital of Sulaiman alayhi salam. He sits in Mashura. Quran Sharif tells us. He asks his satis, his sahaba, what do you all feel? What do we do? He takes rice. See how beautiful. He comes to this agreement. They think we will be bought by dunya. What is dunya? Dunya means nothing. Let's show them. And he gets his city paved in golden bricks. Golden bars. The whole city, they brought a couple of bars. What we learn from here, when Allah gave us some dunya, use it for Allah. What happens with us today? The one day we go in the path of Allah, we'll use skoro skoro. When we go family and all, then we want to take out the nice one. No, for Allah, use the nice one. Use what's best, what Allah gave us. That person coming for Allah, meeting people for Allah, he's parking his car there. It's not that he got no other work to do, he's coming. No, he's loving, he loves Allah. And he wants humanity to love Allah. That's why he went. Use what Allah gave us for Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. When they come, cutting a long story short, and I have to finish as much as I can today, because Allah knows how short is life and how long is life, and when we have another opportunity, just to crux the story for you. When they come to Sulaiman al-Islam, he says, please, I'm not interested in your bribes and your dunya. You tell your queen, submit to Allah, otherwise you all will see another side of me. Hazrat Sulaiman used his authority to show people the truth because he was a king, and first of all, he was Allah's Nabi. And here my request to you, you have a company, you have staff, you have friends, you have colleagues. Use your ability, use your dial, your smile, use your wit, use your wisdom, use your authority without force, because the Quran Sharif says don't force. But explain to people the truth, because when he's your staff, then you can use somewhat influence. To you, to the best of your ability. And then, Allahu Akbar, finally, the story is long, but my time has elapsed. Finally, they return with the message of Sulaiman alayhi salam, and Bilqis with her entourage come to Sulaiman alayhi salam, and she embraces Islam. Aslamtu ma'a Sulaiman lillahi rabbil alameen. But then comes the story of Salih alayhi salam, and last thing I want to tell you in this chapter about Musa alayhi salam in Surah Qasas that I read, I got no time to tell you now. Maybe Allah give us an opportunity to speak to Haji Ashraf. He'll send it to you, the whole story of Surah Qasas. But in this chapter, Karizab was reading, you heard about Dabbatul Ard, a creature from the earth. So this chapter tells us a lot about the animals. This creature will come out before Judgment Day. And it seems this creature is a camel. Because when Allah gave Salih alayhi salam's people a camel as a miracle from the rock, the people killed the camel. But the baby of the camel, The calf of the camel
went into the rock and Allah rescued it like that. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, this Dabba will come out before Judgment Day. It will have the staff of Musa alayhi salam and the ring of Sulaiman alayhi salam. And in the Sahih Hadith, it will go to every person and brand their heads. If a person is a Muslim that time, no one can embrace Islam after that. If a person is kafir or munafiq, it will all be stamped. A person who didn't worry about namaz, when the dabba comes, he wants to start namaz. The dabba will come while he's in namaz and say, Al-an tu salli, now you want to pray. All along you're hearing the adhan and you neglect Allah's call. I say, sometimes I'm walking to the masjid and I'll see people walking away from the masjid. So I says to myself, means I say to myself, let me talk to them 2 minutes. So I ask him, brother, give me 2 minutes of your time. If your father is calling you. Now, I am telling you, I want you to do the same. Because there's millions of the ummah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam out there. One or two people doing this is not sufficient. And the jamaats do a great duty, alhamdulillah. But every one of us need to play our part. So I ask the brother, brother, if your father calls you, what you'll do? You'll leave everything and go, isn't it? No, obviously. What about if your employer calls you? He's paying you salary end of the month. If he calls you, what you'll do? Of course, you'll leave everything and you'll rush there. So tell me, father and employer, and on the other side, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who's greater? Obviously, Almighty God is greater. So I'm telling him now, see, Almighty God is calling us. Allah is calling us. So you have to explain to people slowly, break it down for them. Every one of us have to do this, inshallah. Allah knows when we'll have another opportunity with you. Jazakumullahu khairan. All of us fulfill this duty, inshallah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil. Anyone who's interested, inshallah, speak to Haji Ashraf. He'll put you on our group, inshallah, and we'll share with you the tafsir and the lives of Sahaba throughout the year.